Welcome back to Connections. Our guest is Afroz Khan, who is a city councilor in Newburyport. Afroz, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, everybody's dealing with some aspect of the health crisis. Tell us how it hits you and how it's impacted you in your role as a city councilor. And I know that you had some meetings that you had to do online last night, and maybe you could share some of what happened there with us.
Yes, no, thank you so much for asking. As everyone else is going through in this whole, I guess in the whole country, we are learning day by day on how to deal with COVID-19 from so many perspectives, as a parent, as a physician, or whatever your job may be. As a city councilor, it's been another kind of level for me personally, and I think other councilors or other town officials. We have, as soon as Governor Baker gave the directive that open meeting laws could be relaxed to do remote meetings for people like boards and commissions and city councilors, we immediately met. I think on March 16th, we had a special meeting of the city council here in Newburyport to adopt policies for remote participation. So while we were allowed to do remote participation for city council business, we still didn't have any policies to work around. So we acted pretty quickly here to implement how that was going to work, to make sure that we only took up essential items and time-sensitive items and put on hold anything that required public hearings. So, we did have a meeting last night as you and I were kind of corresponding. One of the things that has happened is, again, the governor issued kind of some directives that were advised to be implemented, such as, gatherings of 10 or greater people to not really happen outdoors or in indoor spaces. Well, one of the things that in Newburyport, as the weather is getting really nice, there have been the social distancing aspect that's so critical to flattening this curve is not really being, I don't want to say it's not being taken seriously, but I think there's a lot of lack of understanding on what that truly means. And, we all have kids that want to be outside, especially when you have a 60-degree day like we are having today, and we're definitely going to have some really good weather. Newburyport is kind of known for, we have an amazing rail trail. We are located right by, we have a beach. So, but unfortunately, given the situation with COVID-19, we met through a special meeting because three counselors introduced an ordinance, and we had a 3.5-hour meeting at 7:30, and then ended up postponing to Wednesday night at 11 p.m. after deliberating for hours on where we couldn't really get alignment on the details of the ordinance, and really what it's doing is we're actually trying to give a little bit more, more power to authority figures like the police to actually find people if they are congregating in larger groups. There seems to be a lot of residents concerned about block parties still happening, and that's kind of what we're dealing with day to day is, most infringing upon people's their civil rights or civil liberties to do what they want. When you start trying to codify distance and closing parks and saying, no, you cannot go and shoot a basketball, even if you're by yourself, over in a public park.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh had imposed a curfew for residents of Boston. Is that something Newburyport has entertained or considering, or how is that part of what you discussed last night, or?
Well, it did come up, but more in a very negative way. I think some of the counselors who felt like we were taking this too far, they're going to have a curfew like Boston does. So, our intention is not to kind of restrain or to create anything that's going to be hard for people. I think, but then that's the balance we're trying to walk. At this point, I don't know if a curfew is needed. But Josh, I am concerned, you know, about really, I think we're in a critical time here in the next 2 weeks. And I kind of see it like maybe without having some severity of the situation kind of brought to light, that people still are maybe taking this a little bit too casually. So, and my husband is also a physician who is, and that's a perspective I get daily. You know, I'm kind of quarantined with him, although he does go into the hospital. And he is now, you know, being in the special gastroenterology, he's actually being asked to go and support and provide some help at a respiratory clinic. So a lot of people are doing things that normally they would not have done. And that was kind of the arguments I was trying to make last night in favor of the ordinance we had before us, is that, yes, people are going to be uncomfortable, but unfortunately we are in a time where, you know, businesses are being asked, we're asked to close if they're non-essential. And I don't think we've seen that before. School closures, this is the longest school closure I've seen in my whole life of going to school. So I think we are in an unusual time, but I pray that it's just a short time period. The ordinance we had put there was to really just be into effect till May 4th, hoping that by May 4th, can we really accomplish a lot.
Well, I was trying to remember if I could come up with anything where there had been that kind of a school closure. And if memory serves me, I think it was 1969, we went to school eight or nine days in the month of February, because we had those incredible snowstorms. And of course, you know, I had February vacation, wrapped in there. But this is, it is a long period of time for, kids to be home and for everybody to be home. And, how is that going to impact, or how is that impacting the way education is delivered in Newburyport and other places? And what do you see as the rollout of that, either for the short term or long term?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's a really good point you're bringing up. And one of the things, as a city councilor, I'm on two committees, and one of them is the education committee. And we did actually have a meeting last night as well at 5:30. Where we talked with the superintendent, and we got an update from the superintendent on how remote learning is being implemented. And the Department of Education from the state has given a lot of guidance and has been doing a lot of remote calls with superintendents, and as well as with the other kind of learning teams out there. And we got I was really impressed with the level of support and the level of tools that are being provided to educators on how they could keep the students going in terms of a remote learning capacity, while also being mindful of a lot of the emotional stress that the kids are also facing. And I was really, I thought that, you know, one of the things that I actually did not know this till last night, you know, the MCAS testing, which is statewide, there is discussion about canceling that. And one of the things that will be, I think, announced shortly is whether or not that's going to be truly canceled. And I think that's still being decided by the commissioner. But once that directive comes through, there is still going to be a way that they're going to gauge whether students can, should they be doing summer school, basically. And so what teachers are doing through remote capacities, and if anyone is struggling and doesn't have the way to participate, we're provided with Google Chromebooks being provided and anything that they needed to be able to do this remote learning. But the gauge is going to be if students are just responding to teachers. Are they turning in assignments or, you know, through a Google Classroom? And if some are not participating, they're actually reaching out and trying to say, you know, well, what's preventing you? How could we support you? And I was really impressed by the numbers of participation remotely. The superintendent reported that there was about 7% of non-participants, and that they're reaching out and slowly addressing each of the issues they're having. So that's kind of how I see it, is that remote learning is a new space, but a lot of the educators and as well as the state level are providing the support to help make this happen.
You know, and you may not know the answer to this, but I'll throw it out there because it occurred to me when you were talking. So I'm a student, and I'm having trouble with algebra. And there are no side comments from Rick Moore, who had me as a teacher in high school back a few years ago.
No comment.
But you know, I need some extra help in algebra too. Is there going to be some tutoring capability that schools are going to be able to provide, or is that up to the parents to find somebody who can tutor me or tutor a student? Has that come up in discussion at all?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good point. I would say, even personally, I have an eighth grader as well as a fifth grader. And the way I think it's being handled is it's by teams of teachers. So as teachers are working with their students, and I'm very grateful that they've had more than half a year of education time with kids, that they have already kind of instituted methods and ways to, through the Google Classrooms and Zoom. I have to say the Zoom platform has been wonderful, and it's been provided to a lot of educators in Newburyport, and I'm sure over the state, that there have been kind of these little group assistance sessions happening. In fact, my daughter's on one right now where they kind of color-coded students based on, okay, and you don't even know what it's based on, but they created the color coding, and they have those groups working together. So I do feel like it's an individual space type of approach, but I have to say from my perspective as a parent of a fifth grader and an eighth grader who are some of those that need assistance, that is being provided through this platform.
That's great. Well, that's certainly beneficial. And anything else that came up at either the education or the city council that you'd like to share with us?
Well, I think, you know, it's not been easy, Josh. I won't fib. Last night's 3.5-hour meeting was exhausting. And we really, you know, it came down to this. We are asking that more that enforcement be more I guess tighter on groups and dispersing groups that are getting together. Now it did be unfortunate because some of the discussion was: do you ask a group to prove that they're family members? Do you how does one approach somebody and a group with civility and not being so angry with each other? Do we put our law enforcement folks at risk by maybe getting into an altercation with groups when you do ask them to no longer hang out? So, I mean, those are the real issues that we talked about last night. And unfortunately, this COVID-19 situation has put us in a place where we are going to be uncomfortable and asking for things that sound kind of surreal and just something you never thought you'd have to go and say, yeah, prove that you guys are related, you know, so, or living in the same house or so. Yeah. So those were a lot of our discussions. So we are continuing the conversation tomorrow night. We have, we actually voted to postpone. And so we're going to be resuming conversations on this ordinance tomorrow night at 7:30. Again, we're using Zoom, and we are hoping to come up with some type of an ordinance to codify enforcement.
What is the dynamic like for you? And can you give a sense of how the citizenry is receiving it? I mean, it's different than you show up a town hall and you raise your hand and you want to speak. I know mechanically or logistically it's not the same thing. And is there concern that, gee, I don't have a computer. I'm not going to get to weigh in on this. How is that being handled or dealt with or discussed?
You know, that's actually a really good point that you just brought up. And that's been some of the pushback in terms of using this kind of remote capacity of conducting our city council work. You know, you don't have during debate, you can't see people. And during public comment, yeah, if someone does not have a computer, they cannot probably participate in our meeting. We tried to see if the Zoom function could actually be broadcasted on our local community network here in Newburyport, and that is not in place yet. So I think you bring up some really kind of risky factors as we make some kind of really key important decisions. Now, in terms of council you know, the council deliberating and debating, have a hand raise kind of function. So for all of us counselors, there's 11 of us. You know, I've actually found this to be it's been working well, I would say, in using this forum. We did have public comment, and so the way Zoom is, there's a room where all the public sit in, kind of a virtual room, and the council president can go in there and unmute participants when they raise their hand to speak. Again, I'm talking only for those who can have the luxury to kind of log in and participate. We did say, you know, if you have anything to say, you could also email the counselors. But one of the pushback was we actually called that special meeting, the one that was held yesterday, that was called that day. So one of the pushbacks from some of the counselors, and I definitely understood it, is some of the public don't even know we're talking about this. And all of a sudden, we're going to say we're going to fine you $125 if you're kind of congregating. So that was a tough situation to be in, that we had to meet so quickly on a public safety issue, but within our charter, we had the right to do that. So, no, very good points you're bringing up.
Two last points. One is, if I'm in Gloucester and I wanted to go to a new tavern, can I do that?
You could participate. It's public information. So if you could definitely participate, just like if you wanted to drive over to Newburyport and participate, it's just that if you were to speak, every single person who speaks must give their address. That's
okay.
The first thing.
Right.
They state their name and they state their address, and then they are allowed
to. So the moment I say I'm from Indiana, I'm out.
I mean, you.
Right.
Yeah. And we've had people speak before. Can you hear me? I don't know if I'm cutting in.
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. The other thing that observation I made is that, gee, when you're in person and someone gets up and makes a really important point and the audience cheers and claps and everything, that cheering and clapping sometimes sways council to vote in a particular way that maybe when they came in they weren't planning to vote. I'm guessing that dynamic doesn't exist in Zoom.
It certainly does not. And I have to tell you, having had really painful discussions on marijuana and some other topics, I really admire some consultants in other cities who have actually, before a very sensitive topic is talked about, will actually tell people to please refrain from clapping, applauding. This is not a sports event that they're at. And to be honest, as a counselor who's sitting in a chair where my back is actually to the public, I sometimes find it very, it could be very also aggressive, and I don't see it in a positive way, to be honest. And even if I support an issue and the majority of people in the room support it, I don't like that clapping. I don't like that, you know, that cheering. And I really do applaud our council president, who does hit the gavel when things get...
Jared Eigerman, our council
president.
Right. Well, thank you for taking time out of your busy day and sharing with us what's happening in Newburyport. Lots of good information, and as always, it's a pleasure to have you be a call-in guest on Connections.
Oh, well, thank you so much for inviting me. I always enjoy your show, so it's a pleasure to be part of it. Thank you.
Thank you.